Today on Real Radio.
Time magazine not too long ago said that unfaithfulness may be found in a gene that's in the human body. That's why you're unfaithful. You've got a gene. And as soon as I read that, I said, no, unfaithfulness comes from not keeping your genes on. That's what happens. But, you know, we read the Bible and we think, well, the Bible's just a bunch of rules and things to keep me from having fun. Thou shalt nots of the Bible are not there to destroy us. They're there to keep us alive.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. In fact, we're in a mini-series of sorts that takes a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. You see, marriage was ordained by God, yet it's under attack today in so many different ways. And these attacks and perversions predate the same-sex marriage issue, as we'll see while we take a look at commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Peter Gomes, in writing as he was the chaplain of Harvard, tells the story of when Mother Teresa of Calcutta came to Harvard before her death to receive her honorary degree. And when she rose to speak to the assembled graduates of Harvard Yard, many of whom had been aided a little bit in advance with alcohol, it was noted, waited for her to speak. She said, "Young people, there is nothing more important than for you to be chaste." The graduates sat for a moment, a little bit befuddled, silent, unsure of what it was that she meant. She went on, "You must be chaste. Your body is a temple." She continued, and some in the audience members began to brighten up and said to one another, "Yeah, I would like to be chaste. Sure, chase me all you want." And hoots and shouts of praise accompanied the rest of Mother Teresa's speech at Harvard as she spoke about personal purity. Sadly, very few, if any, understood what she was talking about. She was talking about being pure. And they didn't get it. Harvard graduates. When she said it's a great thing to be chaste, we've lost the meaning of the word. It's a great thing to keep yourself. That is both before marriage and in marriage. Now, when I say in marriage, if you're married, then you have sex as often as you like or more. In marriage, that's your marriage, not someone else's marriage. That's called adultery. But if you're single, you're to be devoting yourself to God. We'll talk about that tonight, though this message is not about being single. It is about us conducting ourselves wisely in this world and why God would care about all that, why it's important. Some of you tonight might be saying, "Well, I don't think it's important at all." Oh, it is important. C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, I love that book, by the way. If you don't have it, get it. "Chastity is the most unpopular of the Christian virtues. There is no getting away from it," said C.S. Lewis. "The Christian rule is either marriage with complete faithfulness to your partner or else total abstinence." Now, this is so difficult and so contrary to our human instincts that obviously either Christianity is wrong or our sexual instinct as it is has gone wrong. One or the other. "I, being a Christian," said C.S. Lewis, "must conclude that it is our human instinct which has gone very wrong." Time magazine not too long ago said that unfaithfulness may be found in a gene that's in the human body. That's why you're unfaithful. You've got a gene. And as soon as I read that, I said, no, unfaithfulness comes from not keeping your genes on. That's what happens. But, you know, we read the Bible and we think, well, the Bible's just a bunch of rules and things to keep me from having fun. Thou shalt nots of the Bible are not there to destroy us. They're there to keep us alive. In our previous study last time together, we looked at the introduction, really, to the seventh commandment. And we looked at it regarding our current contemporary damages and dangers that our culture around us celebrates adultery. It's on sitcoms. It's in movies. Hollywood celebrates it. Hollywood lives it out. And it's our modern culture right now that is redefining what the home should look like, what marriage should look like. And God's got another word for that. God's got another plan. He says, you shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20, verse 14, and it is again one of those horizontal commandments. It's how we relate to man. And remember this, church, it's our theme verse. Matthew 5, 17, Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle, that is of the Hebrew language, will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So we spent a lot of time last time in our introduction, and I shared some things that were very important to my heart regarding this issue. It was very personal, and I was told later on Thursday that it was at times a little bit heated, I guess, coming from this pulpit, and yet I wouldn't change a thing about it. Simply for this reason, it is destroying the church, it's destroying children, adultery is destroying people, and even those who think they're enjoying the greatest adulterous moment of their lives, little do they know that they are sowing the seeds of tremendous destruction in their lives. It is an amazing thing that we often as Christians get criticized and mocked and made fun of regarding our heavenly views of things, but what I find amazing is that in reality, we care more about people's souls than they do themselves. And somebody might say, just leave me alone with my soul. Don't tell me about your Jesus. And that kind of commitment on our part might even draw persecution. But let it be known tonight, or let it be restated, it's because of our love for our fellow man, even those who don't know Jesus. That needs to be clear. We don't love the world, but we love those who are in the world. We're going to ask this question tonight. What is adultery? What is it? When the Bible says you shall not commit adultery, this is both a commandment, not to do this thing, and a precept, meaning that we're to be obedient because there's good results. God says don't do it. It's a command when he says it, and the reason is because he wants us to be blessed. When a person embarks upon adultery or an adulterous relationship, they're thinking, boy, am I going to get something great out of this? Let's be honest. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. The truth is seasons change. And just like someone can feel the seasons changing, so you can feel that exciting, dynamic relationship that you know part of it is, boy, I shouldn't be doing this, but, and all of the thrill of that begins to evaporate. And then the reality sets in. What is adultery? Why is it something that is enticing to the wandering eye? The word adultery in Hebrew is na'af, and it means the committing of a severing, that is a cutting off. It means a void, the act of apostasy. That's an interesting word because that's a religious word. Adultery, to commit apostasy, to break off or to forsake. Listen to this. It means to abandon one's faith or allegiance to God. You say, what does that have to do with adultery? Because God views adultery as a spiritually rooted cause. People today think that, well, nobody saw, nobody knows, it's just this, it's purely physical. Women often confess that they got into an adulterous relationship because it was emotionally comforting for them. And a man is not that way. A man will often say that it was physically gratifying. Regardless, male or female, it is a spiritual issue according to God. Isn't that amazing? Your body is much more than just a body. Your body houses, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. And the Bible tells us, Jesus warned us, Paul the Apostle warned us collectively, that if you join yourself to somebody outside of marriage, you are taking Christ and joining them to Christ outside of marriage. It's an abomination to God. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that He who is joined to a harlot is one body with her. Do you see the spiritual connection regarding the physical practice? He says, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore, flee sexual immorality. Listen to this. Every sin that a man does outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. There is a law that God has engineered that when we embark upon sexual unsanctioned sin, that it will do something to our bodies. There's a judgment to be had. Adultery is the violation of your unification with your God, with your spouse, with your family. And in marriage, there's that exclusive union that God has ordained. That's why we defend marriage. I had someone write me during the Proposition 8 campaign and was very colorful with their language, not a believer, and that's okay. But they said something that I've never forgotten because they're right. That person wrote and said, you Christians trying to tell people what marriage ought to be like and what a marriage should be defined as, why don't you take care of your own marriage and make your own marriages work? And I agree with that person. I'm excited in the next several months, you're going to be, as I've alluded to in the recent Sundays, you're going to start seeing a tremendous change in this church if you're willing, if you are open, where what happens here on Wednesdays and Sundays will be one thing, but every day of the week, you'll be able to have your church in your home, every one of you. Imagine that, and we're going to instruct you, and you're going to have the tools to have a Christian home that is for real. Why? To strengthen your home and or your marriage. It doesn't matter if you're married or not, if you're divorced and whatever. Listen, it's going to strengthen your home, but it's going to be great. We already know this from 33 other churches in Texas that's been doing it, that it's strengthened the marriages that took it on. And we're going to ask all of you to take it on. It's going to be great. But listen, we need to encourage and strengthen our relationship with our spouses, our family, and our God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Matthew 19:5, Jesus says, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The bonding, putting together, the union spiritually and emotionally and physically of a marriage, God holds sacred. I love this, and I've said it, I think I said it a couple weeks ago, Song of Solomon. I love, now look, as soon as I say this, every kid's going to read the book now. But in Israel, you're not allowed to read the Song of Solomon until you're 30 years of age because it's too graphic. You say, where's that book? Where's that book? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, Song of Solomon. And it's definitely adult stuff. But in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. The word in Hebrew implies that we are welded together. And adultery severs that. In body, in soul, and in spirit. And so this is a very vital, very important thing that we're considering tonight. Now, get your notes ready, because what is adultery and the dangers of it? We've got the wise counsel from Solomon to his son, and we've got a lot of scripture regarding this right now tonight. So are you guys ready for this? Act like you care. Are you ready for this? Okay, good. I'm curious tonight. How many of you are 25 years of age or under tonight? Raise your hand high. 25 years of age or under? Okay. Can you make some noise about that? All right, listen. Write this down. And all of you who are 25 years of age and over, write this down. Okay? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. Proverbs 6, 24. Solomon says, these commands and this teaching will keep you from the immoral woman. And girls, you just put immoral man is for you. From the smooth tongue of an adulterous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coyness seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty. And sleeping with another man's wife may cost you your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and not be burned? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So it is with the man who goes into another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. Chapter 7, verse 4. Proverbs 7, verse 4. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them hold you back from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of an adulterous woman. I was looking out the window of my house one day and saw a simple-minded young man who lacked common sense. Verse 8 goes on. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. He was strolling down the path by her house at twilight. As the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, the woman approached him dressed seductively and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type who never stays at home. She is often seen in the streets and markets soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look, she said, I've offered my sacrifices and just finished my vows. It's you I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with colored sheets of finest linen imported from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses, for my husband is not home. Wow. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and will not return until later in the month. And so she seduced him with her pretty speech, with her flattery. She enticed him. He followed her at once, like an ox going to the slaughter, or like a trapped stag awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. Listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. Numerous men have been her victims. Her house is the road to hell. Her bedroom is the den of death. What is adultery? It is the ripping and the severance, the destruction. It's the bifurcation of what God has joined together. And an immoral man or an immoral woman will be a tool that the enemy will use to come into your life. But listen, there are a lot of immoral men and women. And even if they were knocking on your door, God tells us, the believer, to resist her or to resist him. To stay away from. Solomon speaks to his sons and tells them the story. Stay away from her house. Don't even go down her streets, because it's such a destructive thing. Adultery is something that we looked at last time together, but we'll say more about tonight, that it is something that is mocked and made fun of and made light of. And people today, that if you are first of all a virgin, you're made fun of. I just read a thing in preparation for this message that Jessica Alba, the actress, said, there are no virgins anymore, she says. And she said of herself, she said, I am fully and completely addicted to sex. And she went on to say that she has sexual partners on a repeated basis. This is in print. Hollywood celebrates it. The entertainment world glorifies it. And tonight you might be saying, especially if you're young, you might say, man, are you kidding me? I mean, everybody's doing that. And you have no idea the destruction that you're bringing into your own life. Adultery, the tearing apart of what God has called a marriage. Now look, as we continue on, remember this from last time. Adultery, that is two people having a relationship together, either both of them married to other people, or one in the mix being married to someone. There could be a single person having an illicit relationship with someone who's married, single, married, or two married people who are married to other people. And God says that is adultery, and it is the breaking of faith. It is the breaking of a relationship. It is the breaking off, the snapping, as it were, of a body. Think about that in half. Point number two tonight, why is adultery wrong? Why is it wrong? Well, it's a profound spiritual dislocation of unity. We talked about that. It's an ongoing cancer unless it's killed. You might be thinking, well, I can have one of these discreet affairs that, as I mentioned and shown you guys an app last time together, an app that makes your affair easier to manage and easier to handle, an app for your phone. But now there's commercials on television of this Ashley, is it Ashley Madison? Is that the name of it? It's an Ashley Madison. That sounds like such a nice name, huh? Ashley Madison. Is that like Dolly Madison's daughter, Ashley Madison? And it's a commercial on TV. And you can, I guess, sign up or call them or join up, and you can have an affair through it. They'll manage it for you. And we're wondering, what's wrong with America? God will not sit idle on these things. He cannot sit idle on these things. But listen, God will have his day. But right now, if you're involved in anything like that, you're going to want to stop. You're going to want to stop. You're going to want to get away. You want to flee. You're going to want to run. Why is adultery wrong? It's a poison that goes from one relationship, even once it's broken off. If you don't get healing, if you don't get forgiveness, if you don't get Jesus in it to conquer it, it's just going to spread to the next relationship. Far too many people, I don't understand it, but church, listen to this. There'll be people who will have a marriage and it will end in an adulterous relationship, and then I don't get it. You would think after being burned once, you'd be very careful about going into your next relationship. And it's the strangest thing that somehow people think, well, you know what, my marriage didn't work out, but I met this guy and I'm going to get married. And all of a sudden, within weeks or in a few months, they're married, having no marriage counseling, not finding out why and how did this relationship ever go wrong in the first place to bring you into this next one. And that is why you see the statistics on divorce and adultery and all of this stuff, where a person that is one time divorced, the probability is over 50% that there'll be a second divorce. And then after a second divorce, it's something like 70 or the high 70%, there'll be a third divorce. Why? Because one problem is just transferred over to the next relationship and it's never taken to the foot of the cross and dealt with. And I'm telling you this right now to give you hope and encouragement. If that's you tonight, you can stop that curse, as it were, and go to the Lord and take this to him. He will repair, he will fix. But adultery, why is it wrong? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Solomon again, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Now, as you can see, this message really is quite timely for us today, especially since marriage, as laid out in Scripture, is being attacked these days from all imaginable angles. This series within a series is part of Pastor Jack's bigger collection of studies on the Ten Commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20. So please be sure to join us again as we continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. You're going to love it. You can listen to it online. You can also receive them via email if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.